Piper Kerman, an upper-middle-class, college-educated woman fresh out of school, delivers a suitcase of drug money on behalf of her girlfriend. She's relieved to get by undetected, but 5 years later, when she has left that lifestyle far behind, federal agents arrive at her apartment in Brooklyn to indict her for the crime. Despite a burgeoning career, a devoted boyfriend, and a supportive circle of friends and family, she decides to plea bargain her sentence, and a full 10 years after the act begins to serve her time in a women's prison. She's called her book about her time in prison, Orange is the New Black. It's published by Random House, and it's just been adapted into a Netflix original series. I'm very pleased that it has brought Piper Kerman to our show today. Hello.
Hello, Lenny.
So why did it take another 5 years after you were arrested before you began to serve your sentence?
If you look at the indictment, there's 13 people on it, and at the top of it is a West African drug kingpin, and at the bottom of it is me. And something startling happened after I pled guilty, and that was that he was taken into custody in the United Kingdom on this U.S. warrant. And that triggered a lengthy delay while they tried to extradite him. The U.K. ultimately declined to extradite him and released him. And then, you know, the small fish, our cases moved forward.
Well, how did you even wind up coming into the case? Because we're talking about 5 years later. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew that you had done it. Somebody must have squealed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who?
Yep. It's still not completely clear to this day who rolled over on me, but it's actually not that important to me because, you know, no one held a gun to my head and made me commit a crime. I chose to do it.
Oh, but I'm not minimizing what you did, but carrying a suitcase of money doesn't seem to be the same thing as managing an international drug ring. Why would you have been subject to the same sentencing as anyone else in the drug ring?
Mandatory minimum sentencing in this country, and particularly federal sentencing, which I was in federal court, is very heavy, you know, and sentencing is typically done based on the weight of drugs associated with a conspiracy and not with an individual's role in it. So
this is similar to a situation where you are driving the getaway car, somebody's murdered, and you're brought up on murder charges.
Typically, particularly folks who are very low-level folks within, an underground economy are the ones who have very little information upon which to trade to minimize their sentences. That said, I served, 13 months of a 15-month sentence, a very short amount of time compared with most of the women who I was in prison with.
You got involved as a result of a lesbian relationship. How did you meet Nora?
I met her when I was fresh out of Smith College. She was not the first woman I had ever dated by any stretch, but she was this sort of much older and, you know, she seemed incredibly worldly and sophisticated to me.
Were you aware of her drug situation?
Not when I first met her, but shortly after I met her. And that was, obviously scandalous, but also very, very intriguing to me.
What made you end the relationship?
I ended that relationship when I found myself in Europe after carrying that bag of drug money with a very clear sense that I was in way, way over my head and that my physical safety, was threatened. I had really, gotten myself into something that I needed to get myself out of.
So did you see her in the intervening years?
No, I didn't see her for many, many, many years.
Were you scared? You must have been scared carrying that money because even though it just is money,
mm-hmm.
you had a sense of the implication. Were you taking drugs at the time?
I was not taking drugs at the time. I've never been subject to substance abuse or addiction. I certainly don't have that excuse. I was really scared to do it. She asked me. She said she really needed me to do it. And I definitely had this feeling that I was in deep and couldn't say no. So
You took a plea bargain. Were you tempted to stand trial?
I was not. I had committed this offense, and that was true regardless of the confusing realities of mandatory minimums and sentencing guidelines. You know, trying to take something to trial and claim that you are innocent or mitigate, the consequences didn't seem like the right thing to do.
Your memoir doesn't dwell on really negative emotions, but were you angry at the time? Did you say this isn't fair?
I definitely don't think that most drug sentences are fair. I didn't know anything at all when I was indicted about drug laws in this country. So I got a really rapid education about, you know, what has happened in the last 30 years. And a lot of time passed between my being indicted and my actually walking into prison gates. And that time, while it was very, very difficult, also was a time to reflect upon, you know, my choices and to reflect upon what I was facing and to sort of walk into prison like ready to get it over with.
But also give you time to prepare yourself for the experience. What was the best advice you got?
Well, it was really hard to gather accurate information about what life in a women's prison would be like. There were very few books at that time written by women who had had that experience. I got great advice from a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend who was a young woman like myself who had served, you know, a 15-month sentence in federal prison for a drug offense, a low-security women's prison, Pekin, Illinois. And she was very kind and spoke to me for several hours on the phone, giving me just the most practical tips, but also, you know, she really, the fact of her survival was so reassuring to me. And she said, you know, people are not going to be cruel to you. People are not always nice to each other in there. But, you know, the biggest thing to fear is not other prisoners. Well, and I found that to be true.
Although others said, don't get too close to anyone. Mm-hmm. The other prisoners, on the whole, were pretty generous.
I found incredible generosity from the other women who I did time with. Again, it's not that I liked every single person that I was locked up with, but it is a very unusual community of women, an involuntary community of women, but a community nonetheless.
What about race? You had blonde hair, fair skin. Mm-hmm. Did you get different treatment? And what did you discover about other women who had been sentenced for similar crimes?
Mm-hmm. Well, literally on the first day that I was in prison, one of the only questions, which is not verboten, a personal question, is how much time do you have? And then you rattle off your sentence and someone computes, you know, what good time you might get off. So on that first day in prison, it was really clear to me immediately that there were a lot of women doing a lot more time. I found myself shoulder to shoulder with women who were doing, you know, 7 years, 10 years. And as time went on and I got to know those women well, it became harder and harder for me to believe that their offenses were so much worse than mine. Right. So
had race been a factor?
Race plays a big factor in terms of who is policed in the first place in this country, who is prosecuted, what kind of sentences they get. I think that's undeniable.
My guest is Piper Kerman. Her book, Orange is the New Black, My Year in a Women's Prison, now adapted into a Netflix original series. How close is the TV version to the book? For example, on the TV show, sex is everywhere, but that's not the story you tell in the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not my story. I spent a very cloistered year in prison, as anyone who reads the book knows. The book is, you know, the TV show is an adaptation, and there are some dramatic departures from my own storyline and from some of the realities that I depict in the book. And frankly, I think that that is necessary. I think a docudrama or a biopic approach would not be successful. It wouldn't work. I think that the show needs to live on its own and be its own thing.
Well, they make your parents out to be less nice than you make them out to be in the book.
My parents were absolute stalwarts, and Larry's parents as well. Our families were a huge part of why I survived as an individual going through that experience and why we survived as a couple.
At one point in the memoir, you comment on your time in an all-girls seven-sister school. Mm-hmm. And you say it prepared you for prison. How so?
Oddly, in some ways. I, you know, attended Smith College, and you know, that's also a community of women. I reflected often while I was locked up on the fact that we build certain institutions for certain people in the society, and we build different institutions for other people, and that is starkly true when I compare my experience at Smith versus my experience in a women's prison. That said, there are some similarities. Women, you know, thrown together cheek by jowl, you know, pulled together in odd ways. You know, there's a strong obsession with food in both the women's prison.
And holidays and birthdays are celebrated. I don't think that happens much in male prisons.
I have heard that that is true. I've never spent time, obviously, in a men's prison. But yes, holidays and birthdays, really, really big deals. And sort of, you know, handiworks and all the feminine arts sort of coming through in very odd and unusual ways. A truly astonishing crocheted penis, for example, popped up.
You had popped up, eh? You had constant visitors and packages. Was that unusual? Did some people resent that?
No, I mean, I really didn't encounter resentment from other prisoners. I encountered, like I said, a lot of kindness. What you found is that there was sort of a cadre of visitors in the visiting room who got visits all the time. Everyone from Sister Ardith Platy, the Roman Catholic nun who was locked up with us for protesting at a missile base. You know, she was up in the visiting room every single weekend. You know, some families had the wherewithal to come every week, and that was fantastic. But then there were other folks, like the woman who I shared a bunk with, who never got a visit.
Well, the prison doesn't provide inmates with things like soap, shampoo, and toothpaste.
No.
So do those visitors bring you that stuff?
No. A visitor is not allowed to bring you anything, nor are people actually allowed to send packages of anything other than books to a federal prison. So books and magazines are actually the only thing that you can mail directly to a federal prison.
At one point in the book, you start to realize that you look much younger than you did before you started serving time.
Well,
so was this good for your health in an odd way?
Possibly. I worked as a construction worker, so there was a lot of lifting, you know, 80-pound bags of concrete and, you know, hard physical labor, as is often associated with prisons. I do think that sort of some of the cares of those 6 years of waiting to go to prison fell away from me during that year of actual confinement in a strange way. You know, I definitely was a crucible that you sort of find yourself, you know, burning off a lot.
Well, there's never been a movie about women in prison that didn't deal with abuse from prison guards.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something you saw?
So sexual abuse within the confines of prisons, all prisons, men's and women's prisons, is a serious, serious problem. What I endured and most of the other women that I knew endured were really low-level things like groping, which, you know, you say it's low-level, but it's still a violation. But there are very, very serious assaults that sometimes take place, sexual assaults that take place within the walls of prison. And then there are the more complicated interpersonal relationships that take place between prisoners and guards. And those things are sobering to watch because there is no great – I can't think of a single less equal relationship than that between a prison guard and a prisoner.
But there's bartering that's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Then 15 months and then you got out. Mm-hmm. It would have been a lot rougher, I assume, mm-hmm. if you'd been in there 2 or 3 years.
Oh, God.
How much of an adjustment did it require?
I served 13 months of my 15-month sentence, and it's surprising. Even, you know, by prison standards, that's short time. But it is surprising. It was a big adjustment to come home, and sort of one of the things that is really astounding is how tepid and bland the physical landscape of prison is. And to come back to New York City was like a barrage of stimulus. You know, oh, my God, I'm on the subway.
Piper Kerman's book, Orange is the New Black, My Year in a Women's Prison. It is published by Spiegel and Grau and has been adapted into a new series by Netflix. Thank you so much.
Thank you.